Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call this meeting of the House Transportation Committee to order at 1:01 p.m. Today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. Present with us today are Representative McCabe, Representative McKay, Representative Kronk, Representative Drummond, Vice Chair Hannon, and myself, Chair Hopkins. Assisting us today is our recording secretary, Jamie Buhner, and our LIO moderator, Kelsey Riker. I'd also like to please ask those people online calling in to mute your microphones and your computers so you're not actively speaking and we can get a clear recording for the proceedings for posterity. For those at home, all of today's presentations can be found visiting akleg.gov and finding today's House Transportation Committee hearing under the Daily Schedule tab. Are there any questions before we start today's order of business? Doesn't look like it. So we've got three things up on the agenda today. First, we will hear House Bill 87, its second hearing on electric-assisted bicycles by Representative Wohl. Then we will move on to House Bill 166 on one license plate per vehicle by Representative McCabe, and House Bill 160 by request of the administration. Are there any questions on that agenda? All right. First up, we'll have HB 87 on electric-assisted bicycles. With us today is Ashley Carrick from Representative Wohl's office. Ms. Carrick, why don't you join us at the table and make any brief opening statements and closing statements.
Thank you. For the record, Ashley Carrick, staff to Representative Wohl, and he apologizes. He is in the Ways and Means Committee across the street right now. Just to briefly reintroduce HB 87, this bill adds a definition of electric-assisted bicycles to statute. This is to add clarity so that these electric-assisted bicycles can be regulated as bicycles rather than as motor vehicles, as this is unclear right now. And we would look forward to your support for the bill, and I'm happy to take any last questions that the committee has.
Are there any questions for the bill, Representative Crum?
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. I have to apologize because you came to the office and asked if we had any issues, and this one really didn't pop up into my head until about an hour ago. We have lots of areas that are non-motorized hunting areas, and if this definition takes out, you know, electric bikes as being a motorized, there's got to be some sort of conflict with what we have in place now in these non-motorized areas. And I'm not sure if you've looked into that, and I do apologize because I just thought of this, but some of the new hunting electric bikes they can get you quite a long ways. And a lot of these trails that we have in these non-motorized areas go back 40, 50 miles, and you can actually hook a tow cart behind them. And I'm just wondering how this will affect that. And I do apologize. I'm totally sorry that I just thought of this like an hour ago, but can you answer that?
Yeah, through the chair to Representative Kronk. So the way the bill would add this definition, electric-assisted bicycles could be used anywhere that bicycles are currently allowed to be used, and that would include non-motorized trails on state land. Municipalities are able to regulate them in additional ways that aren't a part of this bill, and so it's possible that a borough or a municipality could say, well, we don't really want e-bikes on certain trails, and they could put an ordinance to that effect in place. And
just a clarification question first. What this bill does is establishes the electric pedal-assisted bikes as non-motorized vehicles. Currently, they're not regulated as anything. Correct. So today, they could go on those trails under state statute just the same, correct?
Yeah, to the chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Follow-up. Yeah. I guess that's my concern because, and I'm just going to pick out one area, you know, let's just say there's a Glacier Mountain controlled use area. It's about a 40, 50-mile road, and you can already bike in there, you know, but it's you're going to be a biker. I mean, if you have an electric-assisted motor, I think it's going to add so many more people. I mean, the purpose of having a non-motorized area is to keep numbers of people down out of an area. And again, I do apologize, but this one just kind of hit me as like, we could be opening up these areas to a lot more use or hunt, let's just say hunting pressure in these areas because of this taking that. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, but I know this is kind of a big deal in the walking areas. Let's say in a Delta sheep management area, you can actually ride a bike in there, but if you had an electric assisted bike, that makes it so much easier to get in there. Mm-hmm. So again, I apologize for not bringing this up, you know, but it just came to me either, you know, as a person that hunts and accesses this. So this actually opens up all these areas to an electric assisted bike, which are basically bikes, you know, they almost have ATV tires on them right now, the new ones that they've been making. So I'm kind of, mm-hmm. I understand the purpose. I really do. I just want to have you guys chatted with Fish and Game about the possibility of this.
Through the chair to Representative Kronk, we have had conversations in the past on a previous iteration of this bill about motorized versus non-motorized use areas. And that was a big part of the impetus to keep the bill limited to pedal-assisted bikes as opposed to throttle control bikes. So the kinds of bikes that are being defined in this bill would be those that can reach a maximum speed of 28 miles an hour while pedaling. So it's not something that you could just turn your throttle on and just go 40 or 50 miles. The e-bikes also have a battery life and okay. other factors. So we felt that that would adequately address some of the concerns you're mentioning.
Okay, thank you.
And there, and Ms. Carrick, there. Fairly quiet, not like a motorcycle.
No.
And Representative McCabe, you had a question.
Thanks. So just to clarify through the chair, there's a difference between motor vehicle, which we're sort of moving these pedal bikes out of what would be considered motor vehicle, and a motorized vehicle, which I think is what the hunting regulation says. But I would have to check. I was going to ask Rep. Kronk if he knew exactly what the hunting regulation says, because I think there's a way that the hunting which is a regulation, could exempt or say you can't use these, even though we're defining it as not a motor vehicle. I think the ADF&G could still exempt or forbid these from being used by regulation in their.
Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in concurrence. I think there's a way around this. I understand the whole purpose of this, so thank you.
All right, thanks. Any further questions?
Seeing none, we did not get any amendments from anybody on the committee for the legislation, so at this point, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Hopkins, I move to advance House Bill 87, version 32-LS0397/A from committee with attached individual recommendation and attached zero fiscal note.
Any objections? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease while the committee members sign the report. On the one license plate per vehicle. Today with us are Representative McCabe and his aide Angie Steffel. Representative McCabe, would you please put yourself on the question on the record and make a brief statement regarding your legislation?
Thanks, Chair Hopkins. I appreciate that. Good afternoon, everybody, Vice Chair Hannon and the members of the House Transportation Committee. For the record, Kevin McCabe, Representative for House District 8 in Big Lake. We left off HB 166 with members asking to hear from local law enforcement, so I called as many as would actually talk to me, and we left numerous messages for APD with no return calls. I suspect it had to do with their command structure change. This last week they had a change of command, so probably the last thing on their mind was talking to me about license plates. I did talk to Wasilla Police Chief Joel Smith. He, like the DPS, the last time we heard this bill, they take no position on the bill, and he said it's a tool they use, but it's not a change that he would jump up and down about, was his words exactly, as it does not put his officers at risk, and it's not a safety issue. In fact, he said it's something they can work around if the bill changes the statutes or laws. Fairbanks State Trooper Post, they said no official position on the front of the bill or on the bill for the front license plate. He also said you can't see the front plate at night. He said a registration tag is only required on the back, and that's why illumination is required on the back plate and not the front. And he said basically the front plate provides them no assistance, in his opinion. We then talked to Ohio State Trooper Jessica McIntyre, wanting to know how Ohio is the most recent state that went to one single license plate, so no front plate, and we wanted to know how the rollout was going. So we actually had a great Zoom conversation with her from her dash cam while she was sitting on the side of the road talking to us. And she said the rollout has been seamless. They've adapted to the changes and had not seen any decrease in their ability to stop traffic for any offenses. And in her ability, in her opinion, it did not significantly impact the officers' abilities to do their jobs in any way. I also had my sort of intro meeting with the DPS Commissioner Cockrell, and I asked him about it because he's got a long history, and we were kind of joking back and forth, and I said I think if the troopers had their way, we'd all have to paint our names on the front of our, you know, on the hood of the car. And he said, oh yeah, and your address too, that would be my preference. So but it's sort of the same with him. They take no official position. So when I was driving back from Wasilla to Anchorage the other day, I made it a point to look at front license plates across the highway and across lanes of traffic. About 1 in 10 cars did not have one. Many of those that I could see, I couldn't read because it's breakup and they were all muddy and nasty, and nobody ever cleans those off unless you go through the car wash. So even when I got down to Fifth Avenue and I was driving kind of slow, you know, 30 miles an hour, I still couldn't read the front license plate. I will give you that troopers are probably well trained in doing that. I just couldn't do it even at 30 miles an hour. So let's see, we talked to a Department of Corrections because there was a question about probation violation, and Director Winkleman indicated to DPS that she knows of no probation violations due to failure to have a front plate. We checked with Lieutenant Olson, who testified at the last hearing, looking for backup data on a number of cases where they've actually used a front plate for identifying or anything like that. And the follow-up we got is DPS cannot confirm the number of incidents or cases that originated from a front license plate or lack thereof. And he said, Kelly Howell said, the examples provided were a result of an informal survey of troopers in the field and the feedback that they offered on their experience. So I think I'd just like to close by saying I think we should make these common sense changes. When I first got here, I had a meeting with Rep. Sponholz. We were talking specifically about the budget, and she mentioned to me that an across-the-board budget cut was not the way to do things, that we needed to be more surgical and try to ferret out those spots. If you really think about it, the governor wanted to change, close some DMVs, which we all sort of opposed for one reason or another. And that was going to save $580,000+. This will save a little bit over half of that just by removing a piece of tin from the front of your car that a lot of cars don't have a spot for anyway. So I think it makes sense, and I hope we can pass it out of the committee today. So I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Representative McCabe. I just want to make sure we note that we have received two additional letters of support. Or letters regarding this legislation, one from Fairbanks Nissan owner in support of House Bill 166, and one from the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association in opposition to 166, regarding those points. So are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Not at this time. So I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony to see if anybody's online. Do we have anybody to testify online? We do not. Nobody online to testify regarding 166. Go ahead and close public testimony. Closed. Is there any further questions or concerns or comments regarding the legislation from any members of the committee? All right, so I do not see any at this time. Representative McCabe, any closing comments or?
No, I just appreciate the chance. I appreciate you calling this into committee, and I appreciate the chance to talk to everybody about it. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much for that. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so it doesn't throw anybody off, because I do intend to make a motion to move the bill from committee, but object to it and ask for a vote, and I will be a no vote on the bill at this point. My police department, the Anchorage Police Department, have some concerns about removing a second license plate. To me, it's not a budget issue. It's a solution looking for a problem. I don't see a problem with it. I heard reference to people don't check their front plates. I drive an electric vehicle that at night when I plug it in, that's where the plug-in is, right next to the plate. So I looked at my front plate every time I plug my car in. I just didn't want to throw you off by making a motion to move from committee that I'm going to then vote against, but I wanted to make sure you understood why.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. I know that last week and other concerns that we heard from public safety, it was not just traffic stops or traffic violations, but also being able to view a car that pulls up to a house to rob that house and being able to have the security system monitor that camera. I certainly share those concerns for law enforcement, but I will be a yes vote on passing this bill from committee because I believe it also helps reduce unwarranted traffic stops that don't necessarily improve public safety but can harass drivers and students and people on, not students, drivers and people on the roads unnecessarily. So I appreciate the bill, and I certainly appreciate the concerns of law enforcement and agree with them, but look at the bill from a different direction. So I appreciate Representative Hannon's comments. Do we have any other further comments? All right. Representative Hannon, do you have a motion?
I move to advance House Bill 166, version 32LS0403, /A, from committee with attached individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there an objection?
Yes.
All right, we have an objection. Mr. Hardenbrook, can you please call a roll call?
Representative Drummond.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
No.
Representative McKay.
Yes.
Representative McCabe.
Yes.
Representative Kraft.
Yes.
Chair Hopkins.
Yes. All right, thank you very much. With a vote of 5 yeas and 1 nay, House Bill 166 passes from committee. We're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease real fast as we transition to the next next piece of legislation. And the State Procurement Code by request of the administration. It is the intent of the chair to take public comment on the bill and look to the will of the committee. Additionally, we do have one amendment that will be reviewing. It is a conceptual amendment as we are working with the administration on it just before committee. So with us today on Microsoft Teams are representatives from the Department of Transportation and the Department of Law. Mike Lesman, legislative liaison for DOT, will again be the point person for House Bill 160. Also available are Charlie Denninger, Chief Contracts Officer for the Department of Transportation, Mike Lund, Northern Region Construction Engineer for DOT, and Richard Lesh, Assistant AG from Department of Law. Mr. Lesman, do you have any opening comments on this legislation for our last day with it in committee?
Good afternoon, Chair Hopkins, committee members. Thank you for the opportunity. For the record, Mike Lesman, legislative liaison for DOT and BF. Mr. Chair, just want to thank you and your staff for working so hard on this bill, and let's proceed with that. Thank you.
Certainly, Mr. Lesman, thank you. So as I discussed earlier, we do have a conceptual amendment from the chair that has been vetted and approved by the administration. My aide has distributed the conceptual amendment to the committee, so you all should have it. And Vice Chair Hannah, would you be willing to move the conceptual amendment?
Chair Hopkins, I move conceptual amendment number one that is on your desk.
Thank you very much. I'll object for purposes of discussion. Mr. Hardenbrook, please put yourself on the record and walk the committee through the changes.
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. As was mentioned, conceptual amendment number one is available on the members' desks. Just to walk you through, it's fairly simple changes on page 2, line 5. Oh, and I should mention as well for the committee, the second page shows the amendment as it would be phrased and inserted into the legislation. Page 2, line 5, following the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities may, comma, insert the words through the competitive sealed proposal process. On page 2, line 10, following construction phase, delete the words through the competitive sealed proposal process. On page 2, line 11, following the department, delete the word shall and insert the word may. Finally, the committee authorizes the Legislative Legal Services Division to make technical and conforming changes to the committee substitute for House Bill 160. Mr. Chairman, this was vetted and approved by the folks over at DOT, and Mr. Lessman is online, and he can speak to how the amendment would work when the rubber hits the road, as it were.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hardenbrook. Mr. Lessman, would you please walk the committee through through the amendment and how it would impact the bill and the procurement process?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, again, Mike Lessman, legislative liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chair, the first piece of this is really just taking a very busy and lengthy sentence and making it structurally better. If you look at line 10, those words through the competitive sealed proposal process, we're striking the words there in line 10 and inserting them up in line 6 just to make it clear that the CMGC process really starts with that competitive sealed proposal process. That takes care of the first phase of a CMGC contract, that phase of pre-construction services. So it just struck us that, as well as some of our contracting partners, it just struck us that whole section read better if we put the competitive sealed proposal process up top instead of at the end of a very long sentence. Mr. Chair, the second piece of this, the shall to may, is again kind of the heart of this whole effort. It's really something that can be done to help our contracting community better understand this process. And our construction engineer in Northern Region, Mike Lund, can explain this a lot better than I can, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Lund, would you like to take a stab at it?
Yes. For the record, Michael Lund, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Thank you, Chairman Hopkins. Changing the shall to may does a couple of things. The process is further clarified by the following paragraphs in B and C as to when those follow-on actions would take place. Say we can negotiate a cost or we can't negotiate a cost. And then may also provides some protection for the owner or the state of Alaska in the event, say, that we do negotiate a cost, but for some reason funding somehow is not available to proceed with the cost of the actual construction contract, provides an avenue for the state of Alaska or the Department of Transportation to sort of have an out, even if we can still satisfy a fair negotiation for costs.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Are there questions for the administration on it? Does not look like it. Thank you very much, Mr. Lund, Mr. Lessman, for walking us through the conceptual amendment, number one. I will remove my objection. If there's no further objection to adopting the conceptual amendment for House Bill 160, I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony on 160. Public testimony on 160 has been reopened. Do we have anybody online for public testimony? Looks like we do. First, we have Alicia Sierra from the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. Alyssa, please put yourself on the record and your affiliation, and you've got 2 minutes for your testimony.
Thank you very much. Hello, my name is Alicia Sierra, and I'm the Executive Director of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. Chair Hopkins and members of the House Transportation Committee. I would like to speak on behalf of AGC's membership for House Bill 160 and appreciate the opportunity to testify today. AGC supports having CMGC as an additional tool in the toolbox as an alternative project delivery method for DOT. AGC is a statewide construction trade association representing more than 600 members, including contractors, specialty contractors, suppliers, and manufacturers in Alaska. Within our membership is much of Alaska's industrial and commercial construction industry. We unite the construction industry to focus on balanced advancement and work to foster and promote constructive legislation, regulation, and standards. CMGC is a common and accepted alternative delivery project method in construction and has been used in Alaska for over a decade. Alaska AGC believes that when properly used and properly prepared, CMG can be a great tool. However, we ask that you keep in mind that CMGC is not the only tool, and we encourage transparency and ample review when this tool is used to assure the best value for the state. HB 160 will benefit the construction industry in the state of Alaska by modifying procurement statutes to codify the CMGC procurement process. It would allow the DOT to use the CMGC process without having to submit an innovative procurement request to the Department of Law and the FHWA or FAA for each project. This bill will modernize, clarify, and improve the state's procurement process and align Alaska with the majority of other states. Passage of the bill will also provide an opportunity for the industry to participate in the development of a subsequent regulatory package that would remedy concerns about consistency in the use of CMGC on projects. As the leading construction association in Alaska, AGC respectfully requests a seat at the table throughout this process, especially as it relates to the subsequent regulatory package, which is currently being developed. As leaders and experts in the construction industry, we have compiled a list of best practices from other states and other AGC chapters across the United States and look forward to the opportunity to share these best practices with our DOT partners. For the record, we do support the two simple and friendly amendments to the bill language as discussed earlier in this hearing. Again, AGC thanks you for the opportunity and respectfully requests to seize the table through this process. And we look forward to further participating in this process. Thank you so much, and thanks for considering AGC's testimony in support of this bill today. And I'm sorry, I have a bit of a cold.
That's all right, Ms. Thera. No worries at all. I appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much. And I'm sure the administration heard the request to be at the table as they're online. Any questions for the testifier? Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to the second person we have on board, Sarah Lefebvre from Fairbanks. Sarah, please put your name or state your name for the record and your affiliation if you have any, and please provide your testimony.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Sarah Lefebvre. I'm calling in from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I work for a statewide contractor in their Fairbanks branch office and have been in the construction industry for over 23 years. I mirror Ms. Sarah's comments, and out of respect for your time, I'm not going to repeat any of her excellent points. From the contractor's perspective, the passage of this bill will ensure that the use of CMGC will be applied in a more consistent and clear manner across the three DOT regions, which has been of concern to the contracting community on past projects. By putting the process into statute, it allows for the department to move forward in compiling regulations and completing a handbook that has been in draft form for probably a couple of years now. From the contracting community's perspective, passage of this legislation this session is compelling. We are excited about the possibility of additional infrastructure funds into the state through the various CARES Acts, infrastructure packages, et cetera, from the federal level. But we're concerned that DOT may need some more opportunities in the future to move forward projects forward in their process, and CMGC would increase their ability to do that at a time where Alaska would like to maximize the opportunities that may present themselves with those federal funds. And in closing, I do also want to say that I highly support the proposed amendments to the bill, and again, I thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lefebvre, and say hello to Fairbanks for us. For me, thank you very much. And are there any other further questions or people on board to testify, Ms. Riker? All right. At this time, I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony on 160. Closed. Are there any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, Mr. Lessman, do you have any closing comments for the legislation?
Thank you, Chair Hopkins. For the record, Mike Lessman, legislative liaison, DOT and PF. Again, we just thank you and your staff and this committee for working so hard on this bill. We look forward to working with our partners once the bill is into a law and get to work on the regulatory package. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lessman. There were no amendments for this bill submitted to my office besides the one we addressed this morning. At this point, I'd entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Chair Hopkins, I move to advance House Bill 160, version 32-GH1579/A, as amended from committee with attached individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes, and authorize Legislative Legal Services Division to make technical and conforming changes to the committee substitute for House Bill 160.
Is there an objection? I'm going to go ahead and object for discussion on the bill. Before we go forward with this, I want to just take a brief moment to recognize an upcoming change in personnel at the Department of Transportation. For 31 years, Mike Lessman has served the residents of the state of Alaska. Looking over his record of service, it is remarkable to see how many different agencies, entities, and roles Mr. Lessman has served and filled. Mike has served as the legislative liaison for DOT. He served as the legislative liaison for the Department of Public Safety, and he was a special assistant to Governor Parnell. Mike also spent a decade at the Department of Health and Social Services, mainly focused at the Office of Children's Services. He also spent time working with the Department of Commerce, Fish and Game, DNR, Military and Veterans Affairs, and the Department of Administration. Mike grew up in North Dakota and moved to Alaska in the fall of 88, where he met his wife at DNR in 1991, and they were married in 1994. They have three children, McKenna, Logan, and Megan, and Mike still enjoys most outdoor activities, but his favorite is being on the boat with his family and friends. He says, if you could cruise the waters of Southeast Alaska, fishing, crabbing, shrimping, and sightseeing every day, something I hope he certainly intends to do beginning with his retirement from service starting this Saturday. The department shared a quote by Mike that I'd like to share with the committee. The challenges of public service seem to constantly grow, but the rewards are still greater being a part of something larger than yourself and having the opportunity to positively impact everyday Alaskan life. Our state's future and our children's future is really exciting work. On behalf of my colleagues here in the House Transportation Committee, I'd like to extend our sincere, heartfelt thanks for your service, Mr. Lessman. And during my short tenure as the chair of this committee, Mike, it has been an honor working with you, and you're an invaluable asset to our staff and to this committee. Your dedication, honesty, and work ethic is obvious to everyone who has had the pleasure of working with you these many years. And many legislators in our short time have already shared stories and anecdotes with me and my staff about your years of service with the state. All evidence identifies Mike as a stellar public servant who strives to do the right thing for the right reasons. As a sign of our gratitude from this committee and for all the chairs who have served before, we have reserved the Alaska state flag that will be flown over the Capitol on Friday, April 31st, to celebrate your 31-year career. That flag will be forwarded to the department, and I'm confident they can use their transportation system to track you down and make sure we get it to you for delivery. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put you on the spot, Mike, and if you'd like to say a few words, we'd love to hear them. You got anything to say, Mr. Lessman? He's already retired. We'll go ahead and let you off the hook then, Mike. At that point, I will remove my objection. Seeing no further objection, we will go ahead and move House Bill 160 from committee today with attached fiscal notes. We'll go ahead and take a brief at ease so we can sign. Oh, Mike's back. Hey, Mike, you haven't retired just yet. Would you like to say anything, Mr. Lessman, or you? Absolutely, and thank you for everything you've done for Alaska. Congratulations on your retirement. I'm exceedingly jealous. All right. So with that, we're going to go ahead and take a brief at ease to sign the three committee reports, so make sure you get all three in, and then we'll go ahead and gavel back in for adjournment. Thanks, everybody. Brief at ease. note that Representative Sponholz did join the committee at 1:25 and is now going to be able to be here for the signing of the bills. And I'm going to go back brief at ease. Afternoon. Thank you, everybody.